Well, hello again. It's good to be back with you, sharing something of God's word for this new year. I hope it started all right for you. It's obviously very different for all of us, isn't it? And we're never quite sure at the moment what is around the corner. And it's been a very difficult time after a very difficult year, hasn't it, really? But I hope there are some signs of hope for you, and I hope perhaps to bring some encouragement in the talk that I'm going to share with you this morning. So today's thought comes from the book of 1 John on chapter 2. And this is a letter, of course, a letter to encourage Christians then and down the ages all the way to us now. So it's a letter that's come down through thousands of years. We're just thinking about three verses of it this morning, and I wanted to read to you those verses from a translation called the Passion Translation. This is a very recent translation, and it struck me that I could read this version to you this morning. It might give a fresh insight into it. You might hear something new for yourself just in the very translation, the very words from the Bible. So this is 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. Don't set the affections of your heart on this world, or in loving the things of the world. The love of the Father and the love of the world are incompatible. For all that the world can offer us, the gratification of our flesh, the allurement of the things of the world, and the obsession with status and importance, none of these things come from the Father, but from the world. This world and its desires are in the process of passing away, but those who love to do the will of God live forever. As I say, that's from the Passion Translation. It sets up a few thoughts in my own mind just as I read that through. Earlier on in John's letter here, he reminds us of the new commandment that Jesus gave to his followers and friends. Love one another as I have loved you. So this whole theme of love is that love comes from God and that we care for each other because God first cares for us. And in a way, that's the background, isn't it? To saying, don't love the world. Don't set the world too high on your agenda. Don't give it too much of your affection and energy, because actually what will make you and I secure and at peace in this world is to connect with our first love, the love of God, the God who loves us. There's that verse in Jeremiah, which talks about how we will be found by God. It's almost a sense that when we search for God, Jesus' parable about the lost treasure in the field, when we search for that treasure of the kingdom of God, we are found by it because God is already searching for us. That's the greatness of his love for us. And I'm also reminded here of Jesus talking about how we cannot love mammon or money, if you like, or the things of this world and God. The two will always be in conflict. And I don't know about you, but I find that conflict at work in my life regularly. Because, of course, this created world and the things in it are gifts from God, aren't they? And they are given to us to be stewards. That was the original vision. You know, if you go all the way back to Genesis, the beginning of Genesis, Adam and Eve are given this world and it is good. And they are given it to look after and to care for it and to be creative with it. So there's nothing, in a sense, inherently wrong with caring about the world. But of course, since the world is now broken and sin has come into the world and things have gone wrong, well, I'm reminded of that saying, God made people to be loved and things to be used. And it's very easy for us to get it the wrong way around, so that we love things and we use people. And again, that's, I think, you know, within this passage here. Don't get it the wrong way around. You know, that call to see clearly And only God can help us to see it clearly sometimes, can't he? Because we all need things in our lives. You know, we need beds to sleep in. We need houses with roofs over our heads. There's nothing wrong with a great piece of art or a lovely poem or a television program or a film. You know, there's nothing wrong with these vehicles and things that we can use to survive and to flourish, not just to survive, actually, but to flourish. There are many good things about life, but sometimes they edge up the agenda, don't they? And they become more important than our love for God. I mean, I've got to be honest and say that's very frequent in my life. I constantly have to reassess and think, hang on a minute, you know, has that thing become more important than actually what is at the heart of life, which is the Creator and his concern and his care for the world and the universe and for the people in it, you know. Reminded again of one of the Psalms, Psalm 8. I love that line in Psalm 8, where the writer looks up at the night sky and sees the stars and is amazed that God can care about individuals. The God who made the vastness of the universe cares about each single human heart. And that's the message again to us, you know, that's the ground zero of our living. So when we come here to this warning from John's letter, you know, well, I guess one of the things to remind ourselves is we're not alone in this struggle. John would not have needed to write this letter to those Christians thousands of years ago if they weren't struggling with this, if they weren't tempted to love the things of the world and edge God out a little bit. You know, they were having the same problems we were having. And that's worth remembering with all that we read in the letters of the New Testament from Paul and John and James and others. The reason these letters were written was because these Christians kept getting it wrong. And so they were like us, you know. That's why the letters needed to be written. They were struggling as we struggle with the normal things of life. If we look at verse 17 there, it talks about the way the world and the desires of the world are in the process of passing away, which to me makes me think of the fragility of life, which we're very aware of at the moment, aren't we? That actually there are many signs of our vulnerability. And one of the things that's happened, I think, in the last, what, almost a year, 10 months or so, is, you know, for some of us, it's reminded us that actually we need more than what we've got in this life. We need God because we are vulnerable. We might, you know, our science might be wonderful and our entertainment might be fantastic. And, you know, all the things we've learnt down the centuries and all the reasoning that we have now. But that does not stop us from needing more than all those things. We need God. We need his help. We need his peace in our lives. And I think that's the big struggle, isn't it? A lot of talk about mindfulness at the moment. Well, to me, all mindfulness is saying we need a focus in our lives which comes from knowing God. You know, and the Psalms often talk about a kind of mindfulness. Famously, Psalm 46, verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." And in that as well, it also talks about creation in Psalm 46. And it's interesting that when Jesus talks about not being worried, what he says is, look at the birds, look at the flowers, and he says, consider them. And I was thinking about this the other day, because I was thinking it's very easy to think, oh, just remember the birds, you know, they don't worry. Remember the flowers. But of course, what God's word says as well is that birds do die and that the grass withers and the flowers fade. So I think it's more than just saying, oh, well, remember those things because they don't worry. But rather take time to look at creation from time to time. Take time to calm yourself. Look out of your window if you can't go outside. If you can, just open the door and look outside. Look at the sky. Look at the things of the created world, the greens, the blues, the little creatures. And still yourself as you do that, and it will help you to focus back on God rather than your worries. Now, I'm a great worrier, So in a way, I'm an expert, and in a way, I'm not. I'm an expert in worrying and needing to do this that Jesus talks about, to focus back on God. Because I worry about this world and my world and our situation. But in another way, I'm not an expert. I'm like all of us, aren't I? We all need to keep learning this lesson about focusing back on God. And I think what Jesus is saying there, and what the psalm writer in Psalm 46 is saying, is focus back on God, because you will worry. You and I will worry in this world. But what we need to do, and often if we are too much in love with this world, then that will create worry and disturbance within us. I remember the writer Philip Yancey saying that he'd met a lot of rich and famous actors and people like that in this life. And he said something about, you know, how sometimes the very rich are the unhappiest people. Because wealth in and of itself doesn't create a peaceful existence, does it? As Jesus himself told with that story about the rich fool who was very much in love with things of the world. He just wanted to store it all away for himself rather than sharing it. And what Jesus says is, you know, that's a waste of time. That's actually damaging. That actually destroyed that man in Jesus's parable. It took his life from him, really. It was a thief. You know, those things of this world are a thief. And what Jesus said about himself was, I've come to bring life, and life in its fullness. And I guess that brings us back to the end, verse 17 here, where we're told that those who love to do the will of God live forever. It's the gift of life that comes to us as we focus back on the will of God and the character of God and the caring Father of God. When we focus back on that, when we take moments, seconds, hours, however long we do it, when we regularly do that, then we get a sense of peace and a sense of life that can only come from knowing God. So I'll just say a little prayer. Lord, thank you for this reminder. Lord, you know how much we all struggle with the temptations of the world, with the worries of the world, especially at the moment, and the difficulties of the balance of getting that right. But Lord, help each one of us today and in the coming week to get glimpses again of your care for us, your presence in the world, and the peace and love that you offer to us as we live in this world, when we focus back on you and all that you have done for us in Jesus. And we ask that in the name of Jesus. Amen.